Trend number 5, media's new tools for molding audience behaviors. A few years ago, the fictional character Carrie Bradshaw from the TV show Sex and the City went to the real Magnolia Bakery on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village and bought a cupcake to eat. Ever since then, the tour buses have disgorged passengers to wait in long lines and pay $2.75 for cupcakes. According to the Wall Street Journal, when Rachel, a character on the TV series Friends, got her hair cut, beauty parlors everywhere were deluged with customers wanting the same layered look, which became known as the Rachel. These phenomena gave TV executives at NBC an idea. Why not try to create the same effect on purpose? Model selected behaviors that you'd like to induce in people and reap the benefits. In this case, producers decided to promote green lifestyles by having characters use compact fluorescent light bulbs and recycle plastic bottles on screen. In April 2010, NBC featured some 100 hours of programming with a green theme. And in June, the network will run programs that model exercise and healthful eating. This practice, known as behavioral placement, not only promotes what the network thinks is a socially popular theme, but it also attracts those advertisers who'd like to be associated with something that they perceive as responsible. These behaviors might range from eliminating plastic water bottles to driving hybrid vehicles. For marketers, the motivation isn't simply altruism. Back in 2007, research showed that people were willing to pay more for brands that they perceived as caring about the environment. It's no surprise, then, that when NBC launched its behavioral placement scheme, 20 sponsors jumped in with $20 million in advertising. All of this green-themed material comes to viewers unannounced. That is, the viewers are unaware that they're being manipulated. Product placement, such as showing a sitcom character holding a Coke, has been around for decades. But it has always been pretty obvious to savvy viewers. By contrast, behavioral placement is difficult to distinguish from ordinary parts of the storyline. And many of the themes are so topical that they could simply have emerged from a writer's imagination, such as the reality series Tori and Dean, on which NBC has conspired to have the characters start an organic garden and begin composting. There's a sound reason for not letting viewers know what's going on. According to research published in the Journal of Advertising Research, the less attention someone is paying to ads, the more effective they are. That finding, of course, flies in the face of conventional wisdom, which says that advertisers want to attract the viewer's attention. The subjects in the research, which was conducted at the University of Bath, paid less attention to the creative ads and more attention to those laden with factual information, though they didn't care for the latter. The assumption from this was that emotionally laden ads are more effective because people say they like them. But the opposite is true. People are actually wielding their attention as a weapon, erecting barriers in their minds to what is being said in the information ads. If an ad, on the other hand, makes you feel good, you relax and you let your mind wander, simply accepting its premise. Likewise, research published in the journal Psychology and Marketing showed that combining product placement and a popular celebrity increases sales more than a straightforward ad without the celebrity endorsement. For example, when Courvoisier Cognac appeared in a popular rap video, sales went up by 20%. All of this prefigures a sea change in marketing. Scientifically tested stealth strategies are emerging that call into question the frontal assault used in traditional advertising. A recent report in Electronic News described a trend of slipping ad messages into TV newscasts in smaller media markets. This research was done by researchers at the University of Oregon. While it threatens to undermine the credibility of newscasts, this tactic is understandable. Today, about 40% of a television station's paid advertising revenue comes during its newscasts. But experts estimate that DVRs, which allow people to skip ads, cost the industry about $30 billion a year. By blending advertising into editorial content, stations can recoup some of this loss. And the newest science is showing marketers ways to do this more effectively and less intrusively. According to a report in the journal Current Biology, researchers at University College London recently completed studies demonstrating that subliminal advertising does work. The scientists used magnetic resonance imaging to show that even when subjects weren't aware that an image had flashed on the screen, their brains registered it. Given the ever more subtle and carefully planned media efforts to alter audience behavior, we offer the following four forecasts for your consideration. First, traditional advertising will continue to struggle in the face of information overload and consumer skepticism. Traditional advertising isn't dead, but it is ailing. Using everything from digital recording equipment to their own sophisticated perceptions, viewers are tuning out confrontational ads. Companies cannot keep pouring money down the drain, so watch for them increasingly to turn to product placement, behavioral placement, subliminal ads, and other more subtle ways to get their messages across. As researcher Martin Lindstrom pointed out in his book Biology, product placement in 2006 was a $3.4 billion global industry, and by 2007, it had grown to $4.4 billion. Experts estimate that it may be up to as much as $8 billion today. Second, ad agencies that pioneer new ways of delivering subtle messages and crafting environments in which to place them will dominate the new marketplace of ideas in the coming decade. This innovation may come from one of the big advertising agencies or from a new entrant. But there will inevitably be a handful of go-to companies that can give a message its special power to persuade. And those innovators will inevitably garner the lion's share of this potentially lucrative market. Third, behavioral and product placement represents just one facet of the broader neuromarketing paradigm that will soon dominate marketing. There is too much research linking marketing messages, brain activities, and consumers' decisions for companies to ignore. Already, the business of scientifically dissecting and refining how advertising, packaging, in-store cues, and product design all work together to impact the consumer's decisions at the neurological level is itself becoming a big business. For the first time, we can see a true marriage of science and marketing taking place. And the implications are not yet totally clear. It may mean better marketing, but it also may mean worse science and an environment in which many false claims are made. And fourth, attempts at regulation of behavioral placement will start appearing. Consumers are already complaining about many of these practices, such as placing ads in newscasts and secretly trying to model behaviors for people. This will become a heated issue as news of these new marketing tactics reaches the mainstream press.